T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, a radio.com sports station.
Rich Aurelia laced him up with Barry Bonds several times, and we're just talking about Bonds, and now we get Richie on the show. All guests appearing on the Dialpad guest line. Dialpad helps you make smarter calls here to the Damon Bruce Show. Rich, I've got Darren Smith, who is a radio host down in San Diego, hanging out with me here today. It's a pleasure to have you on, Richie. Thank you very much. How's your summer going, man?
Not too bad, man. Not too bad. I know Darren a little bit.
Yeah.
San Diego days.
That's right. Through Red Stitch Wine as well. Big fan of what Rich has going on here in the wine industry as well as a promising vintner in his post-playing career.
I'm trying my best.
You're succeeding, too. So, look, all of a sudden, Rich, the Giants season took a little turn for the better. Now, I don't know what it means. Farhan Zaidi was basically paid by the Giants to come in here and not get romantic about anyone or anything. As you look at them creeping closer to wild card contention, what advice would you give Farhan Zaidi looking at this team right now?
I think deep down I'd love for them to, you know, try and win and try and keep playing well. But I don't know if this is, you know, a big teaser, or if this is what this team is. And based off the last 2.5 years, you'd have to think that they're just hot right now, and every team gets hot at a certain point. You know, Farhan was brought in to build this team for the future, and he's been given total control to do that. And if you're looking forward to the future, I mean, and this is not a knock on any player on that team, but you know, is Bum really a guy you're looking at in the future to build your rotation around based off the fact that he's going to be making somewhere in the range of $25 million a year? And I don't know if that's a guy you can afford if you're not going to be in contention for a number of years. I kind of would stay the course right now of trying to trade some of these guys and get some young talent in return and build to the future. But, man, I'm glad I don't have his job right now, because his team's putting a little bit of pressure on him. I know they're only 3 games back, I think, of the wild card, but so are 8 other teams. And granted, they gained some ground the last few days, but I don't know if it's sustainable, and I don't know if you can jump so many teams. I know there's time left, but it doesn't seem like it would be a feasible thing to do right now.
That is a very thoughtful and fair analysis of the situation, as we would expect from Rich Aurelia. But I would just ask you, if you were still playing and if you were in that clubhouse, do you think that would be your analysis of the situation? Or do you think you might feel differently about where this is all going in the next 2 weeks?
I'd probably feel totally different.
Right.
To be honest with you. I mean, listen, I was on the other side of that in 97 when we were in contention, and we've pulled off a big trade with the White Sox for Roberto Hernandez, Wilson Alvarez, and Danny Darwin, and they were only 3 games out of first place in their division. So they made that decision in that year to kind of like build for the future. I don't remember much about the White Sox at that point in time and if it worked or not, but it has been done before. And again, I think Farhan has been given the ultimate control to do with this organization what he seems fit. And I was listening to Boach today on a show that he said the same thing. And listen, Farhan wasn't put in a very enviable situation this year with a Hall of Fame manager going out, a free agent pitcher at the end of the year who is a icon in the city of San Francisco, and with a lot of high-priced veteran players. I mean, he wasn't given a really good hand to deal with. And I think it's even harder right now with the way they've been playing.
Rich Aurelia on 95.7 The Game. Can you believe that Pablo Sandoval is still getting it done quite like he's getting it done?
You know what? I'm a little surprised, I'll be honest with you. It's it's good to see, because you see the enthusiasm, you see the energy. And I think maybe, like, Pablo just, you know, takes this role that he's in now, and he kind of just, you know, enjoys it. You know, he knows he's not an everyday guy. I mean, he may be now with Longoria out for a little while, but he's really produced. He's the last guy I would think would be a really good pinch hitter, because he swings at everything. But he's been productive in that role also. So to see him do this and kind of have a little renaissance right now in San Francisco for his career is a pretty cool thing to see. And I think the fans are – I don't think the fans are real happy with the way he left, but – I think the way he's come back and the way he's handled himself, I think, is kind of, he's endeared himself to the fans again.
From one giant shortstop to another, have a day, Brandon Crawford. Five hits, eight RBIs in one game. And he comes back, has a good afternoon in the next game, too. I said, Brandon Crawford put 40 points on his slugging percentage in one day in the middle of July. That's tough to do in the first week of the season.
I mean, that's a good month he had yesterday.
It is.
To be honest with you. And the way, I mean, listen, the way it was going for him, he needed a day like that in a doubleheader. You know, he's just been extremely inconsistent the last couple of years, I think, is the best way to describe it. I don't know if he's been fully healthy the last few years. But I do know it's been extremely inconsistent. I remember, like, doing shows on NBC, the pregames, like, maybe last month, and, you know, you're given a flood of information from different areas, and you're looking up numbers. And I mean, it's probably not the same now, but a month ago, I mean, he was basically, in the numbers that I had, one of the top two worst offensive players in baseball that qualified. Like, the numbers were, you know, hitting 170 against righties and 160 against lefties, and the slugging percentage was really low. And, you know, I don't know what changed, but maybe that little break he took right before the All-Star break with a hamstring maybe got him a little more energy. I mean, his bat speed looks way better to me so far this second half of the season than it did in the first half. You know, and it remains to be seen what he'll do. I mean, it was a great way to start the second half for him, and hopefully for this team, if they do intend to contend, I hope he keeps it up.
Can you tell us what those days are like, you know, especially Colorado, when we're seeing inflated home run records or numbers across the board, all across the league, the ball and the launch angle and all that sort of fun stuff that we get a chance to chat about here. But can you tell us what those days are like, where you have an offense that goes out there and pounds 19, whether it's at Coors or someplace else, not normally here in the Bay, but what those days are like for an offense when you just know, like, is it literally the race to the bat rack that we always hear?
Yeah, you would think, but I'm kind of like looking at the box score right now while I'm on with you guys. You don't want to be the 0-for-3 Pablo in that game yesterday. you want to be the Dickerson or the Crawford or the Yastrzemski. You don't want to be the guy that gets shut out. And you know what? It happens to you at some point in your career where your team's out there, everybody's knocking hits out of the park, and everybody's getting their hits, and you turn around and you're like, man, I'm 0-for-4 today. I can't even salvage this day.
Right.
But it is contagious, though, man. It really is. And, you know, you just, in my mind right now, looking at this, like, is this really their offense? Like, is this what they can be, or is this just what they are for right now on a road trip? You know what I mean? Because we haven't seen this type of offensive production at home from them in a number of years. They really haven't played well at home. So is it because of the parks they're playing in? Cause look, I played in those two parks. They're two launching pads, Milwaukee and Colorado. You come home and then you play in like the dead air of Oracle Park. I mean, it'll be interesting to see when they get home, how the offense reacts.
Yeah. I mean, we've seen this offense go flat as a pancake so many times, returning from robust run totals on the road. We'll see what happens. But the Giants, look, they've won 14 of 21, 5 of 6, and in a summer that hasn't gone well, let's enjoy it while things are going well. We'll see what it all ends up looking like when it's said and done. Richie, I'm wondering if you're paying any attention to what's going on in the Atlantic League and a couple of the Rorschach tests that they're running down there. You're able to run to first, steal first base on any dropped pitch. They're installing robot umpires for the strike zone. There are a few other wrinkles. Is there one that caught your eye?
Well, that stealing first base thing sounds pretty stupid to me. I mean, we're trying to reinvent the wheel here. I saw some of the highlights of the robotic umpires, and I saw some of those pitches that were called. That, I mean, I can't, unless it's kind of tuned in a little bit better and it's based off of each individual player, it's hard to, I mean, I know it's a consistent strike. I know, whatever, knees to whatever, but some of those pitches that were called, man, you don't even flinch at swinging at those pitches.
So. Those are at the nipples, weren't they?
Yeah, and, you know, I understand why they're trying to do this stuff. I really, really do. But it seems like it's just making things more difficult. And, you know, there was a beauty to being able to watch Boach run out to first base and argue a call and, you know, throw his hat on the ground. I mean, it doesn't even happen anymore. There was a beauty to that. And, you know, we're making it right now with the way replay is. The only thing umpires really have to basically take any flack for is their ball and strike calls. Everything else is reversible, it seems. What? So if they mess up, then we just correct it.
Well, you said you understand why they're doing some. I understand the concept, or at least the idea behind the strike zone, just to, you know, eliminate some of that stuff that you were chatting about. Maybe there's a better way to build this mousetrap, but I don't get at all what they're doing with the called third strike thing and running to first. Like that to me, if you want to say that replay can get introduced to the game and there's a program out there that can help you call a better strike zone, okay, we can listen to that. But Rich, like, what's the idea behind this called third strike, run the first base thing?
You know what it is? I guarantee you, it has to be some sabermetric dude who never played the game, who heard the term "you can't steal first base," and basically said, "Oh, I'm going to come up with something where you can steal first
base." Want to bet?
That could be.
I mean, that's my opinion on it, but I mean, who knows? I don't know who came up with it, but I think, you know, the more you change things, the more you bring the question other things that you want to change. It's kind of like a snowball effect, and that's what I think what we're seeing right now.
Richie, always a pleasure to talk to you, man. Thanks very much. This is the first time we've talked to you all season where the baseball was actually like, hey, we got something to talk about other than what's wrong, what's wrong. So it was great talking to you, man. Thank you so much.
Yeah, guys, take care.
See you around the ballpark real soon. Richard Aurelia here on 95.7 The Game. Good guy. Always a pleasure. All guests appear on the Dial Pad guest line. More guests coming up to tell you all about them and what's on today. Elena, hello.
Now back to the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game.
All right, it's time to turn our attention back to the Golden State Warriors in the NBA. We'll be back with baseball a little bit later on today. John Morosi at 4 o'clock. A huge guest to be announced coming up at 5. Make sure you stick around to Tuesday Trifecta, prepared lovingly for you. We'll do that at 5:30. And everything we do today, we do with our pal Darren Smith, who is up from San Diego, longtime radio friend and colleague, is hanging out here while Ray Ratto and Matt Kolsky are enjoying a little vacation. Not that Ray Ratto will enjoy anything.
By the way, this is my vacation. It's just that I didn't plan this vacation. So this is how I'm spending my vacation while your colleagues are enjoying their vacation.
Can we get you a Mai Tai? I mean, seriously.
Hey, I'm taking in all the sights. I'm doing some of the touristy stuff while I'm up here.
Go check out the Sea Lions, Pier 39, you tourist.
Yeah. Somebody will have a car that they want to lend me so I can go drive down Lombard Street. Yeah,
totally.
I'll do it all.
Totally.
I'll do it all. Yeah.
So I got to tell you, I'm talking out of turn here. I hope I don't get an after-the-fact ticket. At like 3 o'clock in the morning one morning, I used to have an ex-girlfriend who lived close to Lombard Street. I drove up Lombard Street one
day. You did?
I did. Breaking the law. Breaking the law.
Look
I
at
drove
you.
Up Lombard Street one night just to say I did it.
How'd that go?
It was really no big deal.
Yeah. What year was this? You didn't film it? You didn't post it on social media? You're not an Instagram influencer?
No. You didn't do that sort of thing? It's like the scene in The Wire. Are you really taking notes on a criminal conspiracy? We don't document the criminal things that we do.
But the statute of limitations has passed.
You're in the clear.
Right?
I would hope so.
I wonder how many people can claim that.
I don't know. I feel like I'm in a short... It's a short list who have even dared to dream so big.
Yeah, no copycats, by the way.
538.com. When it comes to... dorks crunching numbers, there is no better website. 538.com is really, really good for all sorts of things. Statistical analysis is what they're good at building formulas that spit out who's supposed to do what in the upcoming season, so on and so forth, and sparing you the detail of the 538.com formula that they came up with to who might actually qualify for the playoffs in the NBA's Western Conference next year. Believe it or not, they got the Golden State Warriors finishing fourth. Now, they're factoring in a lot of things that are very hard to factor in because this is information we do not have. They're assuming injury time for some superstars. They're assuming workload management becoming more of the norm, a la what Kawhi Leonard had the Toronto Raptors do on his behalf. There are still obviously moves to be made, trades to change things, and I guess it's trying to leave enough of a window open for variable, variable, variable. All things considered, though, the Rockets, they say, will be the best team in the West, which on the surface of them right now is something I'm going to have to see before I agree with that, but the talent is very intriguing, no doubt about it. They've got it: Rockets, Nuggets, Lakers, Warriors, Jazz, Clippers, Mavericks, Pelicans.
Pelicans.
Pelicans they got going in with the Timberwolves, Thunder, Trailblazers, Spurs, Suns, Grizzlies, Kings, all on the outside of the Western Conference looking in. Now, I'm not going to bore you to tears with all the different numbers they threw into this formula, but let me just get right to the skinny of where the Warriors are right now and where they have been historically. This is about to be a much different Golden State Warriors season than what we just got used to. Five straight appearances in the NBA Finals, that raises the bar. The cost of buy-in poker tournaments has gone way up around here. However, even though it feels like the Warriors are a little bit behind the eight ball more this year with the absence of Kevin Durant and the injury of Klay Thompson and all the question marks that come with a youth movement that was forced upon them by KD's decision and free agency and the deal they made for D'Angelo Russell, this will be, without a doubt, Darren, the worst Warriors team in the last 5 years. This will, without a doubt, also qualify for one of the 10 greatest teams in the history of the Golden State Warriors' entire franchise. Like, even though it ain't going to be as good as it used to be around here, this is still at the high water mark of the entire historic franchise. This Warriors team that we're about to watch next year is probably no worse than the 6th, 7th, or 8th greatest Warriors team ever assembled.
I'd love to know what the variables are for this formula from Nate Silver in 538. How you come up with the Warriors at 4. And I would say, I mean, let's just toss this out there. Everybody would sign up for that right now, correct? I mean, if this actually played out this way, that you would have Houston followed by the Nuggets, Lakers, Warriors.
If you're selling
as a top 4 seed in the West, like,
if you're selling me
to sign up for that.
You're selling me a 4 seed, I'll buy it for twice its retail price today.
Today. Absolutely. I mean, that's got to be as optimistic a projection as you could find anywhere here, even internally for Golden State. And I just would love to know, again, I understand that a lot of this is data-driven. A lot of this isn't, well, if this and if that. And you know, there's not a lot of room for opinion here. And there's not a lot of room for, it sort of feeds into, wow, okay, well, I guess Curry's going to have an MVP caliber type season. They're not going to think about load management with regards to him, which he's openly spoken about. Like, I would just love to know what that looks like that would result in the Warriors being a top 4 seed in the West. I'm very curious to know what the details are.
Whatever the details are, as they so the columns of the regular season are voted as full strength / Carmelo rating. There's something called a Carmelo rating, which I guess what measures your desire to look smooth offensively, but only jog between free throw lines defensively. I don't know what is the Carmelo
just
rating.
Jack it up, man. Just jack it up.
How slow can you run backwards? That's the Carmelo rating. There is a projected record. They got the Warriors coming in at 50-32. They have the Warriors at 16% chance to make the NBA Finals, which doesn't sound as good as it used to.
Again, where do you sign up for that?
That's the third best percentage, according to this formula, coming out of the Western Conference. Only the Rockets and Lakers have a better shot. Now, let me just tell you about this Lakers shot. This shot better hit the bullseye this year because Anthony Davis has already begun the countdown, has he not? Today, on The Jump, talking with Rachel Nichols, he just left the door wide open for a whole bunch of what's the Lakers' future really going to look like. I'll just let Anthony and Rachel take it away, and Darren and I will react to this in just a moment.
I'm just focused on this season. I don't know what's going to happen.
Oh, excuse me. I thought the question was in there, too. Hey, you know, you're only signed up for 82 games. What do you think about your future in a Lakers uniform? Rachel Nichols asked Anthony Davis on the jump.
I'm just focused on this season. I don't know what's going to happen. You know, I have 1 year here, so I'm going to make the best of this year. And when that time comes around in, you know, the summer or, you know, whenever the season's over, hopefully around, you know, mid-June, you know, after we just had this parade and, you know, I need a couple of days to think, you know, then we can, you know, talk about that. But until then, you know, I'm trying to do whatever I can to help this team win this year.
So Anthony Davis just intentionally started his own "my clock is ticking to my next decision," which might go back to the open market. I can only tell you this. Anthony Davis is either about to be a reason why the Lakers get closer to contending again, or he will be without a doubt the reason why they were wiped off the NBA's radar for the next 8 to 12 years with the amount of future draft capital they bet on him long term. If he is anything other than a 5-year max deal, it's an unmitigated disaster of fire everyone and force Jeannie Buss to sell the team proportions.
And this is pretty consistent with what the agent has said, Rich Paul, when he was still with the New Orleans Pelicans, right? Because he had said, he had given an interview, Rich Paul did, and when he was denying that he wasn't the actual general manager of the Los Angeles Lakers, he was suggesting that wherever it was that Anthony Davis ended up, he was still going to test the waters of free agency, to which I said, get out of here. That's not, I don't know that I buy that. Do you? I mean, I'm not saying that there's a deal in place.
Right, there must be some situation that would fit well enough for him to say, you know what, I'm good. I'll just check it out right here.
Yeah, I would think then that conversation has to come up unless they've already let it be known to Rob Pelinka. Like, no, we're actually going to go test the waters in free agency. But if things are going well midseason, like, do you really buy that? Like, I guess NBA players certainly do love their free agency, as we discussed a little bit yesterday and for the last couple of weeks, and they're willing to do things sometimes that seem a little bit unorthodox, that doesn't make the best financial sense, that doesn't seem to make the best basketball sense for them. So I wouldn't say zero, but I think that was more to scare off Boston. That was more to scare off other franchises who might have been willing to trade for Anthony Davis. Just to say, hey, just so you know, so we're all out in the open on this. You're only going to get him for a year.
Right.
I always felt, though, like that, like there was an asterisk with that if he got traded, when he got traded to the Lakers.
If Rich Paul isn't working on a long-term deal now, he has done the Lakers so dirty, possibly. I mean, I don't even know what to make of that, other than it really does feel like the Lakers would be so poorly run at this particular time that they have just mortgaged their entire future on 82 games and a wink and a smile from the unibrow.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow.
Right. With some of the moves they've made. Remember, it's not just Davis now. It's Boogie Cousins going in there, and Quinn Cook, Danny Green, Rondo's still there, Jared Dudley, good player to have on your roster, I suppose, but that's a lot of chips to push to the middle of the table, you know, especially when you're sharing a city and a building with a team, which I know we're going to get to, what Jerry West had to say about the Clippers. But, I mean, that's a heck of a risk. I count me amongst those who's a little bit skeptical that he is determined, no matter what, to go to. Now, if it totally implodes, and guess what? Playing with one of his good friends isn't all it was cracked up to be, then I suppose you leave yourself a little bit of wiggle room, but I think a year from now, Damon, what are we talking about with Anthony Davis? Where's he playing? Not in 1920. Where's he playing 2021?
Jeez, I guess it depends on where this year goes. I don't know. I mean, yeah. It feels like he's got to be a long-term Los Angeles Laker, and any other option leaves them holding a bag you cannot get caught holding at the end of a player transaction. Now, you talk about the team that the Lakers are going to be sharing that building with, the Clippers. Clearly, the team du jour in the NBA, thanks to Kawhi Leonard and Paul George teaming up and choosing to share a little room that is the Staples Center with the Lakers instead of moving in with the Lakers. Jerry West was on the Dan Patrick Show today, and when asked how much credit he deserved for the Kawhi deal, Jerry West said,
"Very small, okay? I just had a voice, and I should not get very little at all. I've gotten far too much credit in my life, Dan. I really have. And our front office is really terrific, okay? They were really on top of this thing the whole way. And in this league today, it's just so different. The players are free to move around. Agents, obviously, and players contribute where they go. I've never seen anything like it where players can recruit other players, but I guess it's the modern-day NBA.
I mean, it really is, and it's funny. I mean, I remember talking with Ray and Matt last week, and they were trying to make the argument that even though this all feels new, this is the way the NBA's always been. It's players going to a few cities, a few teams, and they hold, you know, the best hold cards, and they get the first right of, you know, they get to go back and trade in new cards more often than not. But we really are in a whole new world.
Yeah.
I mean, the NBA did have superstar movement at times. It wasn't a spinning lazy Susan where you're just like...
Right, and there are new teams. The Clippers never would have been one of those teams. The Nets never would have been one of those teams.
The Golden State Warriors.
Golden State Warriors, right. Not too long ago, you would absolutely not have put them on the list of potential desirable destinations for big-time impact free agents to go to. So, I mean, that whole Clipper thing, yeah, I thought about it a lot during the first round of the postseason this year. Just what if that team got Kawhi Leonard, given how difficult they are? And then it was just Kawhi being added into that mix with that coach and that organization. And then it became Kawhi Leonard and Paul George. That's the part I didn't expect from them. I thought all along that they were going to get Kawhi.
Jerry West on all of that.
Obviously, I think they have great admiration for each other's game, and I try to be completely fair and honest to all the players in the league, but I honestly think they're the two best way players in basketball. And to get them on one night, as I say, is pretty remarkable. In our front office, they all contributed greatly to it. But those players talk, and I'm not sure that maybe if Kawhi hadn't had some influence on Paul, that we would have been able to make a deal with Oklahoma City. And obviously, we paid a big price, and Oklahoma City should be, I guess, exciting about their future now. But it was a remarkable night, and not to try to defer anything to the other teams involved, but certainly the players helped today.
Obviously, Jerry is thrilled, by the way, Jerry West on today's Dan Patrick Show, with the deal that he got for, I mean, so Kawhi Leonard and Paul George, before they've even dribbled a basketball, are already two of the Clippers' all-time starting top five?
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Maybe
I mean,
Paul George doesn't make it, but Kawhi certainly is starting ahead of, what, Loy Vaught?
Right, Michael Olowokandi. Yeah, I would think also that even bringing in a top three MVP candidate, bringing in a two-time NBA Finals MVP, this is unprecedented in that franchise's history. Absolutely unprecedented in that history.
Real quick, pop quiz. Most important Clipper of all time is?
Most important Clipper of all time is. There's a right answer to this?
There is. V. Stiviano.
Ah, nicely done.
V. Stiviano did more to turn
the welding mask.
Did more to turn the Clippers around with her Daft Punk visor. God. V, we needed you. You delivered. You really did. I mean, Donald, not too happy.
I mean, come on.
But she really is the most important Clipper ever.
Because of what you're saying, then, is the change. And ownership matters, everybody, right? Ownership matters, especially in this league where they were about to protest and about to strike. When you bring somebody in who's that smart, who's willing to invest that kind of money, $2 billion bucks in, and then build and recreate the culture for what the Clippers have historically been. Yeah, I think it matters.
Have you hosted radio shows before? Because you keep on walking me into the segue I'm about to hit. You talk about ownership mattering. Jerry West on the Dan Patrick Show today talked about Steve Ballmer being the best owner he's ever worked for, and considering where he had worked just before he joined the Clippers, is this a shot at Joe Lacob? Is this a shot at the Golden State Warriors? Or is he just like pretty much any employee telling you how much he loves working for the guy signing today's check?
I think one of the things I enjoy about being here, and obviously this is going to be my final stop in my basketball life, is Steve Ballmer has really put together an unbelievably terrific organization. It's not ego-driven at all. It's just a fun place to be, and he's got an awful lot of basketball people over there. And again, I'm just happy to be such a small part of it, to be honest. He's willing to spend on players. He's willing to spend on personnel within the front office. I've never been around any organization that is better than this one.
Really? So the Clippers are about to go to six straight NBA Finals, Jerry? Is that what you're telling me?
But can I just submit, because I understand that we're going to be Bay Area-centric here with regards to this particular piece of commentary for Jerry West. Can I also remind everybody where he used to work a couple of years back?
Memphis?
Let's go back a little more. Lakers?
Oh, yeah.
Like, that resonates. I'm sure in Los Angeles on Sports Talk Radio and that city, they're like, what? He's taking a huge shot at the Lakers organization. I know it's easy to frame it as, wait a second here.
Right, that's not a shot at Joe Lacob. That's a shot at Dr. Jerry Buss.
And the whole Buss family and everything that's been created there now and all the chaos that's ensued here over the last handful of seasons that this team hasn't qualified for the postseason. So I would interpret it more that way. I really, really would. I also would, instead of viewing it as a perceived slight, I might say, that also could be a potential threat as well. If he's serious, and we don't know Jerry West to be a victim of hyperbole, we don't know that I agree with you. He's saying nice things about his employer. But I think he's a pretty upfront, honest guy. And I don't know that there's a long track record of Jerry West trying to mislead people. So that would be something to think about, too, if he's willing to go to that length to say that publicly like he did.
Last thing he said today on the Dan Patrick Show was talking about the rivalry that now will, I guess, matter. It's a battle of L.A., like, for reals. For the first time ever between the Lakers and the Clippers.
Here in Los Angeles, people always put players in their place in the league. There's arguably four of the best top seven players in basketball on respective teams. So I think the games here in Los Angeles now are going to be fun. Anxious to watch them get after each other. And it will be more like the playoffs every game we play them, I'm sure.
Clippers fans have an awful lot of reason to be excited and have huge expectations for their team. Even with the addition of Anthony Davis, that alone is enough to get a Laker fan excited. LeBron and Anthony Davis, it's a compelling duo if there ever was one. What's amazing to me, Darren, and this might be a real good thing for the Golden State Warriors. For the first time in a long time, they're going to be just a little bit under the radar, and they haven't enjoyed that status in so, so long. When I see it thrown out on poll questions, on radio shows, on talk shows, TV, everywhere, best duos in the NBA, you got to get through four or five duos before you see Steph and Clay or Steph and Draymond or Steph and whichever Warrior du jour, Steph and D'Angelo. Like, it's amazing how quickly people are just writing off the NBA's only unanimous MVP, who, by the way, hung that on a hook before Kevin Durant got here.
Good, right?
Phenomenal.
Good. Would you want it any other way if you were the Warriors? I mean, yes, you would want it a different way and that you would be
being an overlord
champ,
that scared the world for 5 years in a row was also fun. But this underdog role, you know what? It more naturally suits Warriors fans historically than anything else.
Yep, absolutely. And after that 5-year run as well, it might be refreshing for some of them inside of the organization to say, yeah, good. Give all the attention to what's going on in Los Angeles. Give all the attention to LeBron partnering up with his buddy, and give all the attention to Kawhi Leonard and Paul George, and put those Lakers-Clippers games on more nationally televised games. Has the schedule come out yet, NBA schedule? Do we know what the Christmas Day is going to be?
No.
The Christmas Day game?
By the way, do you want to know how much the NBA is changing our lives? We will be going over the entirety of the 82-game schedule with wins and losses now, like an NFL schedule.
That's exactly right. And then you have to look at the holidays and the nationally televised games. And if you're the Warriors, you know, that was a lot. Like, that was a lot. And it was great, and everybody loved it. It was unprecedented and unforgettable in franchise and Bay Area history. But maybe you want a little bit of a break after 5 years. And, you know, I'll say this as well about LeBron. Like, I actually think that there's a silver lining to them not making the postseason. The fact that he gets to not play those kind of minutes for another postseason in his career might be a decent thing for him.
This is the break LeBron's body needed, whether he wanted it or not.
Exactly. The dude plays so many minutes out there. He plays more minutes than anybody. So if he needed a little bit of a break, especially at his age, and maybe not walking into a season where everybody's telling you that it's championship or bust, which is a great, great, that's a great thing to have if you're the Warriors or any organization in sport that people think so highly of you that it's championship or bust. But maybe it's good to take a deep breath here if you're the Warriors and say, okay, we can reinvent ourselves a little bit, and we can work some things out, and we can come up with a different approach for Steph during the regular. Like, there's a lot to like, as we said yesterday. Like, it's just more interesting. It's more interesting heading into this season.
We got sound from Bob Myers that we didn't even really get into yesterday. He was talking about the moves that they made in the offseason and what D'Angelo Russell is really doing here, and he's exercising a little patience on a player he'd like to see play a little while before he makes a pivotal decision about the Warriors' future and a player that they just traded for. Also want to sneak in a little this hour about the 49ers, because what we have coming up is a fork in the road season. And this fork leads the 49ers one of two ways. It will lead them towards a realization that the deals that they've made, that the bet that they made on Garoppolo and company, are either going to start to pay off, or they will get further away from the Lynch, Shanahan, Garoppolo, Holy Trinity actually ever working together. The honeymoon's over for everyone. It is show us what you got time for the 49ers. Are they good enough to show us what they got? In terms of pivotal fork in the road seasons, this is as big as anything we've seen since Jim Harbaugh was in town. Like, this is the third year of a 6-year deal. And if you ain't showing, if you're not paying some dividends by year three, end of year three, we got problems.
That's the NFL. The NFL doesn't have these timelines that baseball has. It doesn't have the timelines that the other leagues have. It's just not the way that works. This is a 3-year and show us type of league.
Yeah, well, which is why I always thought that John Gruden's contract was built to fail. Because for the first time in the history of professional football, they built in 3 mulligan years to just kind of kick the can down the road until we actually make it to Las Vegas. And that's when the real show opens. Like, if there's no urgency to win right now, why would you create urgency to win right now? The urgency to win now is palpable with the 49ers. Palpable.
Yeah. Put up, shut up. Right.
Even the Raiders, who added considerable talent. This whole year could be a disaster. 0-16, punt on the whole thing, come back, have the number one pick going into Vegas. If you could sell that to John Gruden and Mike Mayock right now, they'd think of it.
Of course.
They'd consider that deal right now. You're telling me I got the number one pick rolling into a new city? Yeah, okay, I'll go through one more year of hell to have that.
Well, that's what the Rams did. Remember, the Rams traded up. They probably wouldn't. They don't do that if they're in St. Louis. I promise you that. But when they were getting to Los Angeles, they decided to trade up so they can engage the conversation about who they should or shouldn't take at number one, and it ended up being Jared Goff.
Huge implications for the 49ers. We'll kick that can around just a little bit. And then John Morosi today at 4 o'clock here on 95.7 The Game. My pal Darren Smith up from San Diego here on the Damon Bruce Show. Much more on the way, brought to you by Fremont Bank. Full service banking, no compromises.
Now back to the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game.
We got NFL Network on in the corner, and there is this almost hard-to-watch documentary right now, The Life and Times of Earl Campbell. You're looking at the x-rays and the plates and screws they put in his legs, his lower back, his vertebrae. Well, you said you talked to him a few years ago in Dallas, and it was just sort of depressing, right?
Yeah, because he's the Tyler Rowe. I mean, that's Earl Campbell. It's one of the great players. You and I are about the same age. I'm 46. Damon's 44. And you grew up watching those highlights. We were talking about Barry Sanders a little bit earlier, about players that you grew up and watched and who have been ingrained in the history of the NFL. Everybody remembers Earl Campbell lowering the helmet, which is now thought of completely differently than it was back when he played, when he was encouraged to do it, and sticking it squarely in a player's chest, the defensive player's chest, knocking him down and making his way into the end zone. And then they're showing him now. They wheeled him over in a wheelchair, and you're like, wow. You know, when you see some of the players who you grew up watching and wanting to be like and want to play like, not that I had a great football career, Damon, as you could probably guess, but when you see that, you're like, gosh, this is one of the all-time greats.
I thought you were a 3-time first-team All-American at Penn State.
Yeah, no, that's more a Fortinbaugh thing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm a different Darren Smith than that one. But, yeah, I saw it. I'll always remember – he was making the rounds, Radio Row, Dallas, Texas, the year that Dallas hosted the Super Bowl, or Arlington, whatever. And they brought it. They said, oh, do you want to talk to Earl Thomas? Yeah. Or not Earl Thomas. Yeah,
Earl Campbell.
Of course. And it just was, it was a little jarring.
Freudian slip about the 49er secondary. Should they have signed Earl Thomas?
Right, yeah, probably segueing into our next subject. But yeah, it's that's the good and bad of those Super Bowl trips sometimes, is that you see players and you remember them a certain way, and then you see them in their current state. It's like, ooh, man, like the game takes a toll. The game absolutely takes a toll.
Be like, hey, Earl Campbell, what do you think about an 18-game NFL schedule?
Yeah, actually, that should be the counter argument. You shouldn't say anything. You should just say, ladies and gentlemen, here's Earl Campbell.
Right, who played 16 games.
I'm sure 14.
Probably 14, yeah. Back in the day, yeah. So it's not like what I don't understand, what I really never understood about football is why they never expanded the roster. Why not go to a 75-man roster and you're dressing 60 on game day instead of playing with the bare minimum of players, putting guys in position to take too many reps, no time off? Why not? Why not? Why the arbitrary number of, well, you can only dress 52, 3, whatever. I mean, like, just go ahead and expand it. You got the money to do it.
Well, you can't even dress the 53 now, right? Like, there were limitations forever on how many members of your 53-man roster you could even dress, which I never understood.
47, 40, yeah, I don't know what it is
now. Why do you have this roster if you have to have an inactive list on game day? I mean, isn't that what your roster's for? Can you imagine showing up at the ballpark and you're like, hey, Boach, yeah, you can only use 20 of these guys today. Well, you know, what if this guy gets hurt, that guy gets hurt? What if we got extra innings?
You know, Boach would have been like, it's just like opening up in San Diego. We only had about 20 guys.
Yeah, and I
Connor
still won.
Joe was one of them.
I still won four division titles. But that said, like, I never understood that either. Like, what's that all about? So, yeah, the more you can have, that's this whole, that's where the flaws are, Damon, in this whole concept behind the 18-game schedule where the players only play 16 of them. How does that work? How in the world does that work? Like, who do you leave out of certain games? Every game would have to be an out-of-conference game because the conference games are more important than the out-of-conference games. You wouldn't want to do that to your home fans who are paying all that money to go to some of these games. You wouldn't want to sit certain guys. Like,
who's playing behind Baker Mayfield? The correct answer is I don't care.
Right, and nobody wants to watch that. And what if you end up with one of these nationally televised games? How does that affect? I don't know if you're a fantasy player or not, and I don't live and die with fantasy sports, but it's a billion-dollar industry. What are you doing to the fantasy guys on the day where they're ready to roll out a lineup and all of a sudden you find out, oh, by the way, Brady's not playing today?
Doesn't take many weeks into a football season to start finding the really bad teams.
Yeah.
Imagine if you're identified as a really bad team early. You're the Arizona Cardinals and you're 0-4 to start the year. You don't see a team starting quarterback from week 5 through 17 the rest of the way. So now, how are your Arizona, you know, so you get a parade of backup quarterbacks trying to beat you all year long?
Right.
Good God. I mean, how do you deal with that?
These owners will do anything and everything to not scrap two crappy preseason games. Like, they'll go to any length. They'll do anything to put their players in further risk or come up with this ridiculous idea where you only play 16 of the 18 scheduled games, although I don't think that's ever going to happen. You and I won't live long enough to see that, I hope. But they'll do anything not to just scrap these two crappy preseason games that nobody wants to play in anymore.
And here's how NFL players think. You don't have to tell a single guy in the NFL that he's playing a dangerous sport. He knew that at Pop Warner, and he knew it got more dangerous every rung he climbed the ladder. So now here he is, he's standing in the NFL, and he's playing for hundreds of thousands, if not millions of guaranteed dollars. And they're thinking about going from 16 to 18 games. What are you in this for? You're in this for not fun, not entertainment, not ego. You're in this for the checks. Are you telling me that there might be 2 weeks where you can't cash a check, yet you're on an NFL team? You're going to have guys walking in and saying, you know what? I'd rather have 18 checks than 16 checks and 8 quarters of rest built into my NFL year and a bye week.
Does the idea even come with 18 checks? Or does it only come with 16? Since you're only playing 16 games.
We know
the owners, again, I've got questions about that. Our mystery insider who will join us at 5 o'clock, hopefully can answer some of them.
He can answer just about anything when it comes to NFL questions. One of the biggest, biggest names in NFL media joins the station, and we'll let you know who that is at 5 o'clock. One of our really good friends talking baseball, John Morosi, coming up in about 5 minutes. Not at 5 o'clock, but in 5 minutes. We've also got a Tuesday trifecta today, lovingly prepared for you and ready to go. Our topic this afternoon is going to be honest. A little honesty goes a long way around these times. So,
is this like truth or dare?
Kinda.
Is my input required here?
Oh, yeah. Okay. You will absolutely be a huge part of this segment. I can promise you that.
Okay.
So when we look at the 49ers roster, which you and I were doing during the middle of our commercial break, you know, we're sitting here and we're going, all right, okay. On paper, that's officially better. On paper, they're a much better team today than they were yesterday. But you don't play football games with paper. And I was reading another article today that was just talking about defenses and football and the 49ers, even though they spent, you know, some money to improve there, some draft capital to improve there, they're not expected to be a top 10, top half. They're ranked, you know, at the bottom of the league because all of it is until further notice. And I really, really wonder if this is the year that they're going to put us back on notice that they're a team to be reckoned with. The 49ers, I heard yesterday, it's got to be a 10-win season. It's got to be a playoff appearance. How about 8-8? I mean, seriously, I love the enthusiasm, but I would like to just start setting realistic goals. You know, I'm a big, like, Casey Kasem, like, reach for the stars, but keep your feet on the ground. You know, and
that's your Casey Kasem?
There it is.
Season.
Hope you enjoyed. But really, yes, football lends itself to quicker turnarounds than maybe any other sport. A franchise quarterback not playing the most of last year, then showing up to play the most of or all of this year, yeah, that changes things. Hopefully, your corners are better. Hopefully, your pass rush is better. Yeah, I've also seen it all go belly up real quick for all sorts of reasons. Like, there are people who sit around trying to sell you what's about to happen in football are among the chief people you need to ignore in sports, because there is no harder to predict what's about to happen than during a football game. But I got to get back to this 18-game schedule, because you know what? There are indicators that it's about to happen.
Do you like it? You're a football junkie. Want it?
There's no such thing as too much football.
Right. Is there?
Well, here's the thing. There is such a thing as too much football, but that's only if you go out of your way to consume football that you should not be consuming. You need to know what to buy. You need to know what to leave in the odd lot bin. Here's how you enjoy a football season. Stay away from the preseason. Ain't nothing going on but the rent.
Agree.
Stay away means absolutely nothing. So now we're just into the regular season. All of these matter. If you're selling me 18 games, do I have player concerns, health concerns? Sure, I do. But you know what? This ain't the Hunger Games. Everybody gets paid to do the dangerous work. They're all doing it voluntarily. Everyone knows what's what. This woe is me players, they're being taken advantage of in some instances. There's no doubt bad advice has been spread far too often to players, and the NFL is complicit in some misinformation. But the NFL didn't need to turn around and tell these guys that football was dangerous. They all understood it acutely. Here's what I understand. What Jerry Jones wants, he gets. What Robert Kraft wants, he gets, including trips to, day spas.
Yeah.
The Wall Street Journal reports that the players resisted this idea, but right now, NFLPA analysts concluded that two additional games could mean as much as $2.5 billion in annual revenue and approximately $15 million to the salary cap for every team in the first year. More money for more football is a deal that players have shook an agreement on pretty much around every corner, and they will on this one. Look.
Think about what the television networks pay for one more night, right? For splitting that Thursday night deal. Even with with all the complaining that comes with the Thursday night deal.
$1 billion.
Think about how the networks are more than happy to fork over hundreds of millions of dollars just to split a Thursday night television package. And then take that times 32 for two more weeks.
And look, Jerry Jones's will is the most unbendable will in the NFL. He is the de facto commissioner of this league. And if you don't believe me, look at it this way. If Jerry Jones can put a football team in Las Vegas and skew the line between the NFL and gambling forever, two more games at the cost of we're going to make an awful lot more money is going to float through whatever vetting process. This is going to happen, kids. There's no doubt about it.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.